Our reading this morning is from James's first letter, verses 17 through to 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. These have been words from Scripture. Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. So we've just heard from James, Chapter 1. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. There's a celebrated story of a South American pastor, Carlo Ortez, who sensed that his large congregation was good at coming to church and hearing the word, but was less enthusiastic about living it out in daily life. He decided on a radical solution. At the conclusion of his sermon one Sunday, he announced that the doors of the church would remain closed until further notice, until he had heard that members of the congregation were living out the word of God. He then bolted the doors and didn't open them again for weeks. Eventually, he heard back from the leaders of his church small groups that there was indeed a discernible change in people's lives. He placed an announcement in the local newspaper, and the church services resumed the following Sunday. I perhaps won't recommend that course of action to the church council. Perhaps. But James talks about what our lives will look like practically if we have a living relationship with God through faith in Christ. The true basis and power of that is the active word of God, and in us believing it and receiving it in our lives. So to help us see that this morning, we'll see that the word of God is active in three main ways. Firstly, as our life giver, secondly, as our life shaper, and thirdly, as our life liberator. The Word of God is active as our life giver, our life shaper, and our life liberator. So firstly, active as our life giver. James says in verse 18 of chapter 1 that God gave us new birth by the word of truth, or the word of God. And that new birth means God saved us, forgave us, made us a new creation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, totally by grace. And this brings us into a living personal relationship with God. And we've experienced that. Or if we hadn't, no problem. We can do that at the drop of a hat. Just speak to me or one of our elders. But James says that God does this through the word of God. He says we have rebirth by the word of God. Now, that is the gospel or the message of Jesus Christ. But in verse 25, James also uses a synonym for the word of God, the perfect law. And this means he's referring to the whole of the Bible, the whole of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus spoke in the same way in Matthew 5:17 when he referred to the law as meaning the scriptures, the whole of the Bible. But the thing is, new birth, salvation and fullness of life come to us in no other way than by the word of God, the teaching of the Bible. Sure, God's truth is everywhere throughout the universe, but that will not deliver salvation and fullness of life to a single human being. For that, we need God to speak to us in his word, the Bible. And that's because it's only in the Bible that we will hear about and receive God's grace in Jesus Christ, and that is the only thing that can save and give life. Now, I've listened to people wax lyrical to me about how they see the stunning beauty of God in creation, you know, even misty-eyed, and yet they are not vaguely interested in having anything to do with him. And salvation and life are all about a living relationship with God. And if the whole Bible is the source of life for us, that means we must receive and submit to it as a whole. Jesus did. He said that he hadn't come to do away with one jot of God's law, the whole teaching of Scripture, but to fulfill it. People in our Western culture will often say that there are lots of things they like in the Bible, but there are others that they don't like, that they even find offensive, and so they ignore those. And actually, Christians, we, and I, can do that too. For example, we might like what the Bible says about the vital importance of social justice, but not like what it says about God's purpose and order for sexual relationships. Or it might be the other way around. We might like the sexual morality of the Bible, but don't like what it says about social justice. But if the Word of God is the Bible as a whole, then we can't cherry pick. We can't take only the bits we're comfortable with, and we can't take the scissors to the bits we don't like. If we diminish God's Word in that way, we diminish the life it gives to us, and so we diminish ourselves. But of course, you know, if God is God, then his truth is absolutely bound to run counter to our cultural sensibilities and to even offend us at some points. James says in verse 17 that the truth and its life come down from the Father of lights, that is, the God of all gods and the Creator of all things. And God in his truth sees all things. It possesses all light. And so it's naturally greater than our cultural thinking and different from it. The scriptures offended the cultural sensibilities of the people that it was first written for. Just read your Bible and listen to all the complaints. And we are now offended by different things that they were in the time when the Bible was written, because our cultural sensibilities are different now. And what seems offensive to our culture today, in 100 years' time, it'll seem quite acceptable. And then we'll also have different things to complain about again. Because the Word of God brings us salvation and fullness of life, we must accept and submit to the whole of it, even if that means some offence and struggle for us to work through. And when we know the grace and life that comes to us through it, we will love to hear and do what God tells us. So that's the Word of God active as our life giver. Now to the Word of God active as our life shaper. Contrary to a lot of words, perhaps, and maybe contrary to some of ours, God's Word is not dry or dusty or ineffectual. Human beings might use words that are empty and that are not acted on and result in nothing, but God's Word can't be like that. A theologian, Karl Barth, used to hammer and hammer the truth that God's Word is his act. God's Word is his act. God's Word can't be spoken without it acting and doing something. Isaiah 55, 11, 10 and 11 tells us, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. When God speaks, stuff happens. Just a survey of the Old and New Testament, for example, rocks get smashed to pieces by God's word. The earth gets watered and seeds grow. Thoughts and intentions of the heart are split open. A beautiful universe gets created. Sins are exposed. People are set free from captivity. Sins are forgiven. People are saved, people's lives are transformed, dead people get raised to life, all by the action of God's word. But then this same word also birthed us. We're children of God's word, like God's word is our father. And so then we are chips off the old block, so to speak. When our kids were small, they kept guinea pigs, and they had lots and lots of other baby guinea pigs. And they were all birthed from a mum and dad guinea pig, and so they were engendered. They were really good at being guinea pigs and doing guinea pig stuff. Well, we are engendered by the word that has birthed us, to be like that word, to have word-shaped lives and behaviour. And James tells us exactly what we will look like just recapping a little of what we heard before. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has power to save your souls. And then on in verse 26, and if any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: take care for the orphans and widows in their distress, and keep oneself unstained by the world. Did you notice something very significant there? The Word of God holds together moral purity and social responsibility. Holds them together. It can sometimes be that liberal churches major on social responsibility but have no focus on moral purity. And it can also be that conservative churches can major on moral purity but have little or no time for what the Bible says about social responsibility. The Word of God majors on them both. What do we look like? What does our church look like alongside James's descriptions there? James says that if we don't both hear and do God's word, we deceive ourselves. We might have heard the word, but we haven't actually believed it. Hasn't actually sunk into our depths, taken root or become alive. We've just imagined that it has. The word of God active as our life shaper. Now our third point, the Word of God active as our life liberator. How do we get launched into living this Word-shaped life? Well, by faith, we have to crack open the truth that the Word is our dynamic liberator that launches us into a new freedom to live that life. James speaks of God's word there in chapter 1 as the law of liberty, which blesses and enables us to hear and do the word. We've noticed that James is a very practical book, and he gives us practical directions in how this happens. Firstly, verse 25, he says, look into, actually means look intently into the Word, the Bible. Now, if the Word of God is our life giver and our life shaper and our liberator to be able to come alive and do all that it says, then it ain't rocket science, is it? Get into your Bibles if it's all there and comes to us through the Word. I know I bang on about it a lot, but as we've seen, the Word is our life. And if we don't get into it, now regularly read and study and discuss it, we can't expect to get life from it. Certainly not fullness of life. You know, if we're feeling lifeless as Christians, that's one thing we need to think about. And where it says, look intently, look into, in verse 25, it's the same phrase being translated that is used for when Peter looks into the empty tomb. Imagine how Peter was feeling then. Man, it's just blown, his universe blown. This is life and death. If Christ has risen from the dead And he's just, every fibre of his being is captivated. Well, that's how we're to look into the Bible. Second point, look personally. James speaks there of it as us looking into a mirror. Verse 23, it's like God through his word speaks to you and me deeply and incisively. It penetrates right into our depths and it reflects back to us what is in our depths. It shows us where we're really at and where we need to be at. It's like the Bible reading us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." You know, let's trust God, our Father, the God of all grace, to open ourselves to him and to his truth in this way. It's exciting, it's dangerous, and it will bless us to make us fully alive in God's word. Verse 25, James also says, persevere. Now keep at it and at it and at it until it breaks through. I don't mean by that us kind of, you know, living life in sort of slavish religious effort or deadening legalism. No, it's all grace. What I mean is in faith we strive to see and accept and receive and live in grace. See, it's really like we stop striving. You know, we strive to stop our religious efforts and our legalism. Stop trying to save and fix up our own lives. We're always trying to do that. Stop doing that so that we can then receive grace and be liberated by it and become alive in it. And final point, verse 25, he says, be blessed in doing the word of God. In other words, understand and taste that in doing what God wants, in following his good law, it's not negative or oppressive or harmful. You know, it's the false assumption of our Western culture that following any law, doing what someone else tells us, is necessarily negative and it diminishes us and it oppresses us and makes us less free. That's what our culture thinks. It's exactly the opposite with God's word. With the perfect law of liberty, God's word is the owner's manual. It's the instruction for his good plan for our lives, which when we embrace makes us flourish, makes life flourish. The most freeing, liberating thing we can do is to do what God's word says, to obey his true law. If you don't believe me, try it and see. Try it and see. Take God at his word, hold him to it, step out in faith and just do what he says and trust that he will make this truly liberating and blessed for us. And see if he doesn't do that. This is living in faith. If God says it is so, go ahead and act just as if it is so. And then you will find it to be so. If God says it is so, go ahead and act just as if it is so, and then you will find it to be so. Just a very important final, maybe the most, it is the most important bit, actually. So listen hardest right here. So we've seen that seriously looking into God's word, his law, shines the deepest, most penetrating light into ourselves. However, that's not enough. Luther said, if I look only at myself and where I stand in relation to God's law, I will only feel condemned and less free, if that's all we do. And that's because we will always find failure within ourselves when it comes to obeying God's law. There is only one man in history who has or ever will truly fulfill God's perfect law, and that is Jesus Christ. So Christ says in the words of the prophecy in Isaiah 40, which were fulfilled in him, it's put into Christ's mouth, I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is in my heart. He's the only person in history to truly say this and to truly do it. Jesus perfectly fulfills God's law in two ways. Firstly, in the fact that he perfectly obeyed it, he never sinned. And the second way he fulfills God's law by standing in our place as sinners. Jesus fulfilled the law's penalty for our sins in his death on the cross, in order to cancel and forgive our sins forever and to reconcile us to God the Father. And so Paul says in Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And you see, for us to look to Christ in faith and repentance every day, and to know there is no condemnation for us because of that, that truly sets us free. That is the most dynamic launch pad for us to know the power of God's active word for us and for us to become fully alive to God's word. Hear and believe God's word in all of its fullness. And do it. Amen.